This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, y'all now coming in with all your hard-headed stuff, and I feel like this is going to be a thing. We're just going to have to bring this back later on in the show. From the 713, hard-headed about always buying extra seating at the movie theater for a buffer zone. Oh, y'all missed a Money Bucks over here. Dang. Or Miss Money Bucks. I don't know who that is. Somebody said that they're hard-headed about giving praise to people for no reason, telling someone they can sing when they can't.
Ooh.
They're like, I refuse. That okay, you're hard-headed about, I will always tell the truth no matter what.
Yeah, that's awful.
Which, I'm not saying this about you personally, dear listener, but I feel like a lot of people who are like, I'm just a truth teller, oftentimes are, I am a jerk because I don't want to consider people's feelings.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm the total opposite.
You will lie just to avoid hurting people's feelings.
Yeah, I'd never want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Oh, by the way, B-Scott's here.
Hey, that was one of the worst things in the world, though, back in the day. I don't know if y'all remember this. Like, in school, there would be somebody that would sing a lot that thought they could sing better than they could.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, oh, there goes singing so-and-so again. and they were probably a little bit better than like somebody that couldn't sing at all, but they weren't good enough to just be singing all the time. I had a few of those. It's like, oh man, I nobody has the heart to tell them that don't nobody want to hear you singing all the time.
Well, it depends. Well, you said in school, man, in school they will tell you because kids are not good people. I've often said this.
Yeah,
that's true. Like, hey, cut that out.
Yeah, it's like, hey, man, why is you singing?
I'm sure you have a thing or two or ten that you're hard-headed about.
Paying the park, man.
That's a good one.
It's not that I refuse, because I will pay, but I will first try to find all the ways in which I do not have to. Like, I will try to find all the workarounds until I finally settle on, okay, we're going to pay this $30, hopefully not more, you know. But if I can find a free way to park, I will always try to find, oh, over there is cool.
Yeah.
Oh, on the side of the street right there. And I will walk. Yeah. I will walk. And that's probably part of it, too, is that I can still walk. I'm still in a good enough shape to walk. But I refuse to just concede the parking pavement.
I'm kind of like you, except I will also then let the fear and the concern go to a different level, which is, all right, but what happened if this thing get towed?
Yeah.
Right? Like that. Then I get to that space where I'm like,
ooh. I'm accountable. I'm accountable. I've been there. I've been there before.
Yeah. I still have a perfect record in that regard, and I want to keep that zero in that instance.
It's only happened. I've only been towed, I think, twice in my life. In all of the times where I've gone in these parking kind of excursions, I've only been towed twice in my life. And it's been a while. It's been at least 10, 12 years since I've been towed.
I'm proud of you.
And I'm literally wearing something that I'm hard-headed about.
Ah.
I'm wearing the Wilt Chamberlain Philadelphia 76ers 13 t-shirt. And I will go to my grave. If you're talking about the greatest player in the history of basketball, Wilt has to be in the discussion with Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Period. Period.
The spirit of Bill Russell might have something to say about that.
He wasn't better than Will.
I didn't want to go there because I knew he would start there.
I understand that.
Individually,
he was not better than Will. But the issue was that Wilt always had to go up against Russell, always had to go up against his Celtics. And when we think about the greatest of all time, we don't usually think about them not being able to overcome a team throughout the entirety of their career.
Well, LeBron hadn't won as many titles as Michael.
So around the NFL,
fair enough. We see we got some hard-headed mofos up in here.
Brother, I was like, that's just going to be the segment now if I don't start here.
What I got from that segment was Wilt couldn't get past the Celtics.
Hey, he's got a couple. Don't antagonize him. I don't want to deal with that right now.
We giving LeBron a hard time.
So I failed to mention this yesterday. The city of Washington, D.C. will host the 2027 draft as announced by the president of the United States. I was like, oh, okay, this is how this is happening.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, okay. They're going to host next year's draft, and it'll be at the National Mall, which
that's awesome.
Look, I have been hard-headed as well about, like, hey, this draft going on the road, it feels kind of weird to me. People have continued to show out, which in my face. And this is the one where I go, okay, that feels like that.
Yeah,
cool. That does feel like that'd be cool.
That's going to be very cool.
Yeah, you can sign me up for D.C., period. I mean, nothing against Green Bay, but any big event in D.C., much less the draft, I'm here for it. So, I mean, not a lot of notes on this. Like, sign me up if I was somebody that was either going to be covering it or if, you know, my team, like, you know, the Texans right now, to me, going to the draft, I don't know. You know, like, they're picking later in the draft. Sometimes they're not picking in the first round at all.
Yeah. And it got you on the yo-yo.
We should try to go, man.
But I mean, sweet. If I had a little bit more interest or if I had a little bit more reason to be there, you could absolutely sign me up for this.
Okay. That's interesting. Another thing that was announced in that kind of White House time period was that the White House is seeking to cut funding on brain injury research. Like, this was like the less fun, right? The fun is like, hey, DC, you're gonna host the draft. So the Trump administration, in their 2026 fiscal budget request to the Congress, is eliminating major federal funding for traumatic brain injury research, which obviously matters a great deal when you talk about football in particular, and, you know, the ways in which we've grown to understand more about what's happening with brains, with, you know, that kind of traumatic sport that is football and others, right? Soccer also falls in with kind of the head injuries that happen, and also with, you know, kind of repeated head usage. But, this CDC is facing a $3.5 billion in budget cuts and everything. And according to Dr. Owen Perlman, who is a brain injury specialist and board member for the Brain Injury Association of America, he said the budget cuts would roll back decades of progress. Entirely unsurprisingly, Roger Goodell, commissioner of the NFL, refused to comment on such things. This definitely, I don't know necessarily. I've been trying to think about how I think this would affect the NFL, and I don't know how it would. This feels like it more affects like the lower levels of football. And I do wonder if the NFL maybe would be more comfortable because they've already gotten their concussion settlement when it comes to, you know, the players that have previously played, because that's under the guise that those players did not know the risks. Now, I guess you could legally make an argument that these players know the risk. It just feels like the players coming into the NFL are more likely to have injuries and stuff and brain things that they don't have a good understanding of, because it feels like as a nation, we're not going to research it nearly as much.
Yeah, I don't know what position the NFL is going to take on this, but this is pretty consistent with what we've seen across the board with the administration. I mean, they've cutting funding to programs that they consider either unnecessary or like, and I think this kind of gets into political waters, but something that they might consider specifically like woke or liberal.
Mm-hmm.
And some of what the NFL has done, not just, you know, with Black Lives Matter, but even with the concussion stuff, I think they can kind of position that as like, hey, this is not of like our political sort of leaning. This to me is just pretty consistent with what they've been doing. Whether you agree with it or not, this is pretty on brand and unsurprising. I mean, just read the news and look across the board. They are cutting funding to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So to damn near everything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this just kind of falls in line.
Right. And I wanted to keep it relatively apolitical, but I think the point is worth making.
Yeah.
Among the items that are targeted, heads up, concussion prevention program for youth and high school coaches and those types of things. So that's the thing that got me concerned, especially, and I'm interested in how like parents, especially of young children, feel about this, knowing that, you know, some of the protections that have seemingly been put in place around, you know, to help the people that bring up the kids in these spaces to be best prepared to help these kids get involved with a sport that means a lot to our cultural zeitgeist, but make it as healthy as possible. Some of those things being peeled away. I wonder how like parents feel about that in particular, because that's huge. Like, this is,
that's the thing.
We've opened Pandora's box on knowing the dangers of this. We can't just go back to the 90s where we're like, it's probably fine. You got helmets on.
That's
like,
where
we know
I was,
it's there.
That's what would bother me. And it's like the whole concept of, you'll be all right. Come on, man. You'll be all right.
Not to get too negative here, but like,
I did it. I'll take the responsibility.
In my experience, though, like parents, obviously the education is there, the literature is there. There's more opportunities to know. But my experience is that the parents that are still letting their kids play football and that are still into football aren't really that into this information. Like, I'm not trying to put a, you know, a wide enough net or, you know, just blanket statement, but I just haven't seen as much of that concern of, hey, I need to know more about the, like, the, if you're into football, it's kind of like, I am not so sure how much this literature and education is being used.
Yeah. Right, but I think
I'd be curious to know, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
but some of the
like, what's the Venn diagram of,
right?
Yeah,
you know, the, like, what you're talking about and the people that actually utilize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. I think some of it is just like the apparatus for, you know, instruction of coaches and like finding out what's the best practices that we then implement. I think those are the things that my mind immediately goes
we can
to.
Agree.
Yeah.
This is not good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we can agree on okay. that.
That's the easy part of this, is just not good.
This is not good. Mm-hmm. I think that we could say that with a certain level of, I think, confidence.
Yeah.
Not a good thing.
No. So, I don't know how this filters up to the NFL level of things. And I think that there is a question of why don't the owners pay for that research? And that is a whole different conversation think that there should be probably some level of like a societal good in, hey, also being a part of this. But yeah, it feels like, and again, this is going to wander into waters that I don't necessarily know I want to go into, but it feels like, hey, as a society, understanding better ideas of what is and is not good practices mm-hmm. is probably like a larger benefit for all of us, which is why we all put in.
What I'm trying to say here is I wish we all cared more.
Yes.
I really do. I wish the owner, like to every point that you've made, honestly, Reggie, mm-hmm. from the owners to parents, like I wish that this was something that we as a society seem to care more. There are certain things that we just kind of embrace and agree on.
Yeah.
And this is not, for whatever reason, has not become one of them. Like brain research. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just your brain, you'll be fine.
We're going to play a collision sport where we have to wear helmets.
Yeah,
but we don't necessarily embrace brain research.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah. Some other things that have happened around the NFL: Ravens designating Justin Tucker as a post June 1 cut, according to NBC Sports. Remember that they drafted a 6th round kicker, Tyler Loop.
Yeah.
And so remember yesterday we were hearing from John Harbaugh talking about this. As you know, this
football related,
all
baby.
This decisions would be made would be kind of football related. And Eric DaCosta, who is the general manager of the Ravens, put out a statement that says sometimes football decisions are incredibly difficult, and this one is one of those instances. Considering our current roster, we have made the tough decision to release Justin Tucker. Justin created many significant and unforgettable memories in Ravens history. His reliability, focus, drive, resilience, and extraordinary talent made him one of the league's best kickers over the decade. We're grateful for Justin's many contributions while playing for the Ravens. We sincerely wish him and his family the best in the next chapter of their lives. Close quote. That is the language that they used. Kind of flowery, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. how did you take in the release of Justin Tucker?
That's kind of pretty flowery. Pretty flowery. I don't think it was necessary to kind of to necessarily give him his flowers, given the context. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's key to remember that they are using, it does seem like they're using football reasons to justify this. He wasn't good last year, and you can use football reasons to justify this. So to me, it stood out that they went out of their way to not only acknowledge what was going on with him off the field, but to even kind of distance it a little bit mm-hmm. or to downplay it or even make light of it. Make light of it might be a little strong, but I feel like by downplaying it, you are making light of it. And by going out of your way to praise him in this way, you are also making light of it.
It's understandable to me how they approached it, but it's also incredibly weak when you consider what these allegations are and how it might reflect just on Justin Tucker alone as a representative of the organization.
Unnecessary, too.
It's just weak. But here's an interesting question that Reggie and I were talking about before the show. This is like Deshaun Watson has nothing in terms of pelts on the wall that Justin Tucker has. So how are Baltimore fans going to like remember Justin Tucker? Like in what stead is he going to be held?
Yeah, it's a complicated legacy.
Yeah.
It's a complicated legacy, mm-hmm. but also one that ends with him both not playing well and having these allegations out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing with Deshaun, I think what messed his legacy up too, especially in Houston, him wanting out. He mm-hmm. wanted out before the allegations.
Yes.
So I think people slowly turned on him during that time. And now, Justin Tucker didn't want out. Yeah. He was just playing bad.
But yeah. Deshaun also wanted out and was playing well at that time. Mm-hmm. Right? Like the last time that the Texans fans saw Deshaun Watson actually play for the Texans, mm-hmm. he was still a good player. He was their best player, their franchise player. This is a little different where this was your kicker who was great, mm-hmm. perhaps the greatest of all time, who wasn't good recently and had all of this other stuff on
top. Yeah, but that greatest of all time potential, I think that makes this interesting because I think Larry and Stafford, when he called in with Penn and Pendergast, made a good point, which is he's like Hall of Fame type dude, whether it's team Hall of Fame or NFL Hall of Fame. Like, how do you then, like, how do you handle the embrace of that on the back end of that? Especially, well, I mean, we know the NFL hasn't come back with the result, or like whoever ultimately is doing the investigations here has not come back with like the fullness of this. Like, let's say that it does come back and you come through and you're like, oh, okay, so we got all the affirmation that we need with all the documentation or whatever. How do you find a way to embrace him? Or do you just kind of let that sit up?
It's an interesting question.
I don't envy them in that regard. And that probably is one of the reasons why they were, hey, we appreciate the football portion of this. We're not going to talk about all that. He can just go and have the rest, good rest of your life.
Yeah. There will be eyes on this. Yes. Because I think it's going to depend in large part on what the result of those investigations are, or whatever investigation there is. And then, like, mm-hmm. this statement makes you think that they're going to lean toward embracing him. Like, they can do whatever they want, but mm-hmm. there will be eyes on this for sure.
Yeah, did they do anything with Ray Rice as far as, like, bringing them back? I know they ain't going to do too much, but did they ever bring them back for, like,
Well, he brought out the team just a couple of years ago, right? He did his dance and all that.
Yeah.
Well, you're thinking
Ray Rice. Ray Rice. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Ray Lewis, because, you know, technically, he beat that charge.
that's right.
So that's one of those court of public opinion things. Yeah, I think that this gets a little interesting if you have actual court of laws.
And it was back in the day.
Well, and then and Ray Rice to
Ray Rice to my knowledge.
Well, but Ray Rice also, you know, and you don't have to ever forgive for these types of things, right? But he also did all of the quote unquote right things after the fact. And we are talking about, look, and I don't want to get too much into their personal business, but we're talking about a one-time incident that we know about, a one-off incident that we know about that was ugly and inexcusable and horrible. But with this Justin Tucker thing, we're talking about a pattern of behavior, multiple accusations. Like, it's a little bit different from both Ray Rice and Ray Lewis, where we're talking about a one-time incident that is adjudicated one way or the other.
Also a pattern of instances where the Baltimore Ravens might have had some level of understanding as to what was happening here.
Which
is a little uncomfortable as well. Or, you know, hey. But there you go. That's around the NFL. I will get back around to that particular lawsuit at some point during the program. B. Scott in with us for this hour. Coming up next, speaking of B. Scott being in with us, I want to get to B. Scott's thoughts, and I have a feeling that we're going to be talking about some hoop. All right. Yeah, we'll do that next.